everybody. Welcome to episode 74 of Tuesdays with Perry. We're going to get Perry on the line in just a second. We haven't talked in a while, so we're going to do just a news roundup and talk about a variety of different subjects, particularly the state of the U.S. electorate, what their sentiment is, and whether Joe Biden even has a chance in this upcoming presidential election in the United States. And we're going to talk about a bunch of other news as well. I'm going to leave it open to Perry, and we're going to get him on the line in just a second. So let's see if we can do that. We won't get him on the line. I just spoke to him a second ago. We want to talk about a bunch of different subjects.
Please leave your message.
All right, we'll try one more time here to get Perry on the line. I just talked to him 2 minutes ago. Let's try this one more time. See if we can't get him on the line to talk about some of the recent news. We also want to talk about the recent mall, the terrorist attack at the Moscow Mall there. It was the Crocus Music Hall. And see what he thinks about that. We're going to talk about Israel a little bit, but mostly about the sentiment of the electorate, Joe Biden, and economics. Let's try to get him on the line one more time.
Hello.
Hey, Perry. I called you a couple times. Are you ready to have a little discussion about politics tonight?
Yeah, I'm always ready. As a matter of fact, it's part of the reason why I was a little behind schedule here, Rudy. I've got my next door neighbor, his teenage son, and I were talking a bit of that. And my phone is not in front of me, so of course I didn't hear it ring. But anyway, I'm here now.
All right. So I want to ask you about a couple things. So first up, Florida apparently, and this is reported by Fox News today, Florida apparently is no longer in play as a swing state, a purple state. It's out of play for the Democrats. And I know you had some thoughts on that. So do you mind sharing what you think about Florida no longer being in play for the Democrats?
Well, truth be told, with the exception of Romney in 2012 and to a lesser extent, Eye Patch McCain in 2008, Florida has not been in play for the Democrats on a national level since Rinaldus Magnus. And that is even more so the case since 2016. The reason why our congressional delegation is made up the way it is, quite honestly, has more to do with a corrupt state Supreme Court than it has to do with reality when it comes to voting districts throughout the state of Florida. And I mean that because anybody can pull up an electoral map and specific to that of the state of Florida. And you can look and see, I think we have either 28 or 29 districts now. Of all those districts, there are several, two in particular, that in order to make it a Democratic district, they had to use a state or federal highway in a north-south direction in order to link one part of a congressional, Democrat congressional district with another part. And I'll give you a perfect example. The one in particular is right here in Central Florida. It starts in Duval County, which is Jacksonville, and it runs through five counties. And there are areas of that one congressional district where there is no one that votes in that district. There are no addresses because they are all business addresses, or they are federal highway of which there are no addresses on. And it starts in Duval. It ends in Orange County. In particular, it ends in a black township. Matter of fact, it's the oldest black incorporated township in the United States, called Eatonville. And it was like that for as long as I can remember. And I've lived in Florida now for almost four decades. And there's at least one, maybe two other districts that are very similar to that. And the reason for that was because in 1994, when Republicans had full control of the state legislature, and they haven't relinquished it since, so it's been 30 years. They drew up, as they do every 10 years, we have the census. And so in 2000 or 2001, they drew a new set of districts, because we had two more United States representatives that had to be accounted for. And they changed the Eatonville area to be part of another district, which was dominated by a Republican party member. And I should say party member. It was very, very deep red. Well, that enraged the Democrats. They went and petitioned, got as far as the state Supreme Court. And the state Supreme Court said, we're not going to accept you redistricting Eatonville and putting it into a Republican district. So we're going to reinstate the old line. And so you had people in Orange County, Florida, the township of Eatonville, which have little or nothing in common with the people up in Jacksonville, other than the fact that they are Americans. They are also black Americans. And other than those two things, share nothing in common. And so somehow or other, Corrine Brown, who was the representative at the time, remained in office because her district was carved out in such a way by the state Supreme Court that no Republican could ever defeat her, black or white. And so today, it's not nearly as corrupt as that, but as recently as 3 years ago, when Republicans redrew the lines, yet again, the Democrats petitioned the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court said, we're not going to accept this, and they redrew the lines again. So when you look at Florida from a congressional representation makeup, the state is not properly represented by way of party the way it should be. And that's because of our state Supreme Court. But yet, when you look at local elections, Democrats in Democrat strongholds are almost always reassured of winning and holding office. And Republicans in Republican strongholds always retain their offices. And so it doesn't change who's going to win the state of Florida when it comes to president, because the Republicans are going to not outnumber, but outvote the Democrats. But what it's going to do is it's going to cause us problems when it comes to the races that really matter, which are congressional seats. When it comes to Senate seats, it doesn't matter because it's a general election. And it's winner take all. It doesn't matter whether you win certain counties because they're Republican strongholds or not. It matters that you get the right number of votes, truly and authentically elected by way of the Democratic process. That's not the case when it comes to who we select nationally to be our president. And so my worries are not that Republicans can't hold on to this state, at least for the time being. My concern is when it comes down to proper representation in Washington.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to take that sentiment that you just described for Florida, and I also want to bring it nationally. And I'm going to talk about a couple of news stories right now. First off, a Gallup poll came out and said that Trump is seen as a better leader. And it also happened to mention that, well, Joe Biden is more likable, and nobody should really care in politics whether your elected representatives are likable, but whether they can do the job of representing. And also JP Morgan CEO, Jamie Dimon, said a lot of things today or yesterday, but he did say the deficit spending risks for a recession, stagflation, and particularly sticky inflation, as he put it, which means that it's going to stay around at high levels. Meanwhile, Joe Biden wants to spend more on student debt forgiveness. And it seems that the electorate is just losing taste for Democratic policies that are really killing the U.S. economy. And Joe Biden just also said that when if he gets elected again, when Trump's tax cuts get ready to expire, that he's going to let them expire, you bet, which is going to drive more corporations out of the United States, because the tax cuts really had to deal with corporate tax rates. But at the same time, what is also going to expire is the revamped tax code, which closed most of the loopholes. So Joe Biden is basically saying he wants to reinstate those loopholes. But what I wanted to talk to you about, also the Wall Street Journal had an opinion page that said the six-month federal budget deficit is $1.1 trillion. So all this sort of news is not falling on deaf ears as far as the electorate is concerned. But we also talked about more recently that when the Democrats went on their registration drives at college campuses and in the Black community, they found that people wanted to register as Republicans and said they were going to vote for Trump. So it looks like the electorate is turning against the Democrats, specifically on policy, and that's the way people should decide how to vote, is who has the better policies. So what are your opinion here on the mood of the national electorate? And do you think the Democrats can throw a wrench in the works? Do you think they can actually get Joe Biden across the finish line and get him elected?
Well, don't think for one second that's not a good possibility. If they were able to successfully pull off this shenanigan 4 years ago, don't think for one second it can't happen again. All you have to, and you and I have talked about this many times, so I only want to cover it on the periphery tonight. All you have to do is look at the states that are in play. Those states that are in play, the vast majority of them are controlled by Democrats, not just in the governor's mansion, but in the state house as well. They don't care about what's legal and what is illegal when it comes to winning. As Harry Reid so famously said after the 2012 presidential election, when the press finally called him out on his lies about Mitt Romney having not paid his taxes, his exact response to that question was, "We won, didn't we? We won, right? Didn't we?" And so that's something that Republicans have never had the balls to do. They have never had the balls to get down and dirty and do whatever is necessary to, effectively defeat their competitor, because as is in the case of real war, political war is governed by those who set the rules, and the aggressor always sets the rules. Now, if you don't want to play by their rules and you want to be a gentleman, Jim, which is exactly what Romney is, that's why he lost to Obama in 2012. That is also the reason why Hillary lost to Trump in 2016. And they knew this, and that's why conspiracy theorists such as you and I say they had to have a game in place. That is exactly what COVID was all about. And they used COVID and the isolation of keeping people locked up in their houses as an excuse to use an untraceable form of vote tally. And if you think for one second they won't come up with an excuse to do this again, it's matter of fact, if you look at states like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Michigan, Delaware, Wisconsin, California, they still have mail-in voting. So when you look at the states that I just named and those that are in play, don't think for a second that Joe Biden can't win this election. I told you 2 years ago in the off-year elections or in the congressional elections in 2022, I told you and your listeners, don't count your chickens. Don't be so sure there's going to be a red wave. I sense they're going to use these tactics to quell us, and they did. And I'm telling you, as I said to you last fall, in the off-year elections, in the 2023 election, just because we won a governorship and we won this and we won that, don't be so sure. Because there are too many evil forces out there that are waiting to be employed to see to it they bring the election back home. And I'm telling you, it can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't, they obviously don't, can't win on the issues is what you're saying, is what I believe you're saying. I want to dive a little bit deeper into that. So Trump came out to a lot of fanfare and just reiterated his position on abortion, which is that he should leave it up to the states. That was the whole point of overturning Roe versus Wade. So there was a lot of hullabaloo about nothing, where he said, abortion should be left to the state. So that was the only issue that the Democrats were trying to push. It doesn't look like it's going very far. Also, it seems like the lawfare against Trump is not only falling flat with the Black community, but the Black community sees it with resentment and actually is looked favorable towards Trump because they see it as an unjust prosecution, which some in the Black community might see very frequently. So, what do you think? We all see an awakening, but in the Democratic bastions of college campuses and in the Black community, Hispanic community, so forth and so on, what do you think? Do you think they can pull out support from these bastions of suburban women or the Black community or demographics that the Democrats relied on? I see their influence waning because they're not really selling much. Can they cheat in the end? Sure. But it's going to look very suspicious if the vote tallies don't come close to the polling, exit or otherwise.
Well, look, everything you've said about how the Black community is seeing this miscarriage of justice being carried out on Trump, they more than any other group of people know what it's like to be accused falsely. And so whether they love, hate, or could care less about Trump, that resonates with them. And if those people, I don't mean the Black community, I mean those people within the Black community who have an open mind when it comes to politics, they're seeing this. And if they're watching how the justice system is being turned on its ear when it comes to Trump, well, they're more predisposed to support Trump in that matter than most people would be, most other people would be. They know what it feels like. Putting that aside and moving on towards the abortion argument that the Democrats have always been able to depend on lying to women about. It's not having the effect it used to have, because what people are seeing is that it's not as the Democrats say it is. The Democrats keep running around. The Republicans want to ban abortion. They have the Supreme Court so they can ban abortion. We're not banning abortion. Not on a national level. All we've simply done is what should have always been the law of the land. And that is, when it comes to the United States Constitution, and if it's not something that's in direct correlation with the federal Constitution, power is always placed within the elected officials of the state. And why is that? Who do you think answers more to the people of any given state? Do you think the president, whoever the president is, do you think the president of the United States answers more directly to the people of Florida than Ron DeSantis? Of course not. The same thing can be said about even your congressional and senatorial elected officials. It's different when you have a state like Mississippi who has outright banned it. And prior to 1973 and Roe v. Wade, they were able to ban it. And then compare it to states like mine, which, and I don't necessarily agree with it, it's limited to 6 weeks, or New York State, where right up until the day of birth, you can abort a child. Okay? It is up to the people within those states. Now, if I were a New Yorker, and I was mortified by what the Democrats did in the state house 2 years ago with making it so there are zero limitations of any kind on abortion, including infanticide. Well, if I don't like it, don't you think I have more power as a voter in, within that state to change the law so that there can be restrictions placed on it? Versus if the federal government were to have the same policy. So the reason why abortion is, it's not falling on deaf ears. It's having some effect. It's moving the needle somewhat. The reason why, there's two reasons why it's not having the effect it used to have. Number one, people have seen what the federal bench has done. The federal Supreme Court has said, this is not a matter for the United States of America. This is a matter for each of the individual 50 states. We're sending it back to them to decide what they want and what their elected officials voted to office by the people within that state say. The other reason why is because, as James Carville and his partner Paul Begala so famously said in 1992, it's the economy, stupid. And when you have people, and you said this on your show, I don't know if it was yesterday or last week, but you made it a point of saying in the last several years, certainly since Biden took office, there has been an inflation rate in totality of roughly 25%. And there was some moron who is masquerading as an economist in some ivory tower somewhere here in the country who said, well, your wages have kept up with that. And you so effectively said, have any of you that were making $400 a week, which is only, what, $20 an hour, okay? Any of you that were making $400 a week in 2019, are you making $525 a week now? No, you're not. You're not, you have not gotten raises over the last 5 years, as inflation has crept up week after week, month after month, and year after year, totaling, 25%. You haven't seen pay raises like that. I sure as hell haven't. And I'm an independent contractor. I'm a consultant. You think it doesn't matter what my rate is, but my rate is significant enough that if I were to have raised my rate equal to what the inflation rate was, I would have cared that I'm paying in Florida $3.50 for a gallon of gas right now. That's why I do care, because that's not how inflation works, Professor. The way it works is those who control the banks get richer. Those who work for the banks get poorer. And so you have these two dynamics, not to mention the chaos at the border, not to mention the world getting ready to explode. We're already in a hot war. And now we have people in NATO running around saying, Anthony Blinken in all his infinite wisdom, telling the Russians that Ukraine is going to, not will be, is going to be a full member of NATO. You think the Russians are just going to sit there and go, oh, well, okay. And so when that happens, whether it happens next month or next year or 10 years from now, whenever it happens, it's going to be a full-blown world war.
Yeah.
And the Chinese will all, have already said, that's a step too far. So you Democrats better hope that your nemesis does get elected to office in November, because all your little boys and little girls are going to become conscripts in a military that's more focused on gender fluidity than it is on keeping the world free.
Yeah.
So you have all those dynamics also. And that's why, abortion is not as big a deal as it has been in the past.
Right. I want to bring up, since you did bring up gasoline prices, I want to bring up a story before I get into Russia. I'm not going to get too much in the geopolitics because you laid it out pretty well, but I want to get into the recent mall attack there, the terrorist attack. But first, I want to talk a little bit about a Hill article. More in the U.S. say they wouldn't consider buying an EV now. People have been bailing on electric vehicles for some time now. Within the past 6 months, people look like they're dumping that stock. What do you think the gamble on EVs and just moving all electric, moving away from gas stoves, et cetera, and from fossil fuels? I think that policy is backfiring also as far as the U.S. electorate is concerned. What do you say about electric vehicles?
Well, first of all, this is not being determined by the marketplace. This is being determined by the political elite that are running around and sticking their nose in our faces and saying, shut up, we know what's best for you. And the reason why they're doing this is because all I have to do is throw a switch and you don't have a stove anymore if it's electric. All I have to do is throw a switch and you don't have a car anymore if it's electric. It's all about people having the independence and freedom to do what they want. And they can't control us if they don't control our food supply, which they're working on. They don't control our energy. And by control, I mean limit us as to what we can use for energy. And number three, control our medical system. Now, they're already well in control of the medical system, and it was just announced last week that Biden plans to do away with Medicare Plus. So what do you think that means for for people like you and your wife in the next few years, people like me and my wife in the next couple years, and people who are already age 65 or above. Rationed care.
Yep.
That's exactly what this, and I said that's what Obamacare was all about. And that's exactly what they're going to get. So it's going to be about rationing of energy. And that is the purpose of their cities of tomorrow that they're building. You know, they're calling them smart cities, but those are the cities of tomorrow. They're going to be able to control everyone that lives within those cities. And the people that live outside the cities, people like me and my neighbors who live out in the woods and are saying, come get me. I got something for you. Those are the people who are going to be starved of services. That's what the Agenda 2020 was all about. That's what the plan for 2030 is all about. And that's the reason why people are turning their nose up at buying EVs, because they see what the limitations are. And that's on good note. On a bad note, and you've talked about this on your show many times, anybody who lives north of the Mason-Dixon line, good luck getting your EV to get you more than 120, 130 miles on a full charge when it's 20 degrees below zero outside.
Yeah.
And so my question is not EV. My question, and this is my question to the Republicans, why the fuck aren't you bringing up hydrogen?
Yeah.
You know, Toyota already has an engine that runs on hydrogen.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to bring to market a car and a truck that run on hydrogen.
Yeah.
The only reason why they haven't done it yet is you've got to create the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Same thing with CNG. It took 10 years to create enough of an infrastructure so that cars and trucks, buses too, could run on CNG. Yeah. Do you know how many garbage trucks today run on CNG? How many buses run on CNG? Yeah. But yet, Biden's going to do away with natural gas.
Yeah, and it's clean burning. It doesn't make sense. I know President George Bush, not that I was a fan, but he did bring up hydrogen power quite a bit when he was president. So going back to poking the bear, I know you brought this up with our coming world war with Russia and actually provoking Russia, I think, into a nuclear first strike, but we'll have to see how it all plays out. Obviously, it is a bridge too far having Ukraine join NATO and even to voice it publicly, because that's the whole thing that the Russians strategically couldn't live with, specifically because their strategic interest in the Black Sea, etc. But more recently, I found the timing very odd. I think I lost them there. Let's see if we can't get them back on the line.
Remember what I told you. Yeah. We're pissing people off.
don't talk about NATO, click. And don't talk.
Whoever, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know who those people are. And I don't know if you heard this before it went dead. It's not Zelensky. Zelensky is just a puppet of the United States, and in more specific,
he's a crisis. CIA. He's a crisis actor, literally.
Right. He's pretty good at it too.
Yeah.
But my point is, he's not in control.
No.
So whenever whoever that group of people is decides, you know what, we got no choice but to go all in. And if you listen to the little cum queen that's running France, a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, he already said, now this is not verbatim, we need to put boots on the ground in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Macron did say that.
Bridget or Emmanuel?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. One sits on the lap of the other.
which man? Oh, he's not a man. He's not transgender. Yeah, but it was a 40-year-old dating a 15-year-old. Whatever.
Whatever.
I want you to finish your thought, but okay. I want to interject this because we got about 10 minutes. My point is, the BBC is writing here, why is Russia trying to frame Ukraine for the concert massacre? And since you're talking about who's in control of the Ukraine and the Ukraine war and who is in control of the Maidan and the Orange Revolution, we know it was the CIA. I believe the CIA is controlling ISIS and particularly Islamic militant. That's where Al-Qaeda came from, was the database of CIA Islamic militants, Mujahideen, to fight the Soviets. So there is some speculation, including from me, that it was the CIA that at least got these Islamic radicals, fanatics, to attack the concert hall. So could you wrap that into your whole...
But Rudy, you're painting a bit of a false picture here for your audience, and I'll tell you why. Whether or not the individuals who carried out that horrible assassination of innocent civilians are Muslim, and I have every reason to believe they are, they're not Anglos. They're Slavs.
They happen to be Muslim. They're Turkmenistan. They're actually Turkmen. Excuse me.
Turkmen. Right. Okay, so I stand corrected. They're not Slavs. They're Turkmen. But my point being is they are not Arabic. And too many people in our country have this false vision that ISIL and ISIS and the Mujahideen all wear turbans and all speak Farsi. That's not the case. And so you have Uzbekistan, you have there was a specific former Soviet republic,
Chechnya,
starts with a C. The Chechens.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Chechens tried to break away, and what did the Russians do? They punished them by first killing their families and then killing the leaders of the movement. And so what I'm getting at here is it doesn't matter where the terrorists come from anymore. Okay. It is an ideology. And so it is easy for the CIA to try and create this appearance that it is Russia who is behind all of this, when it's really our people who are doing it. And so these people in Turkmenistan and other former Soviet republics, they hate the Russians. They hate the Russians. So it's easy to get them. And then all of a sudden, now it is secret forces within Ukraine that have carried out the act. This is all being done on purpose. You've used the term poke the bear. That's what we're doing. We're sticking a poker in the eye of the bear. And when Putin decides to use a limited nuclear first strike, it's not going to be Europe. It's not going to be the United States. It's going to be Eastern Ukraine. And the reason why is because he's going to send a message by using a tactical nuke. The next one is for you.
Yeah.
And then it's a question, okay, so now what do we do? And if we have already put forces on the ground, well, then we're already at war with Russia. It doesn't matter. You know, right now, this is a war of semantics. Yeah. We're already at war. Okay?
Oh, sure. There are American special forces killing Russian soldiers. Mm-hmm. And they probably have been since 2014.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no question that there are... Look, there's a reason why they're called foreign forces.
Yeah. Yeah, because, so, you know, when an ex-US special forces person ends up dead, and they're like, oh, he defected and joined the Ukrainian resistance. It's like, really? You expect me to believe that?
No, you should believe that. He was a volunteer because he was paid in good old American greenback by the Ukrainians.
Yeah.
He was paid $50,000 to come over, and then he was paid anywhere between $20,000 and $50,000 a month for every month he fought.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of retired military in our country who, for the right reasons, hate the Russians, but for the wrong reasons, are willing to die for the Ukrainians. Not that there aren't good reasons to die for the Ukrainians.
Right.
The Ukrainians fought with us in 2003. Okay? So it's not that I don't feel for the Ukrainian people, but I'm tired of my money, my blood, metaphorically speaking, is being spent on a war that it should have never happened and can never be won. And another reason why I believe these things are going to happen before the election is because they know, I'm talking about the Ukrainians and the Russians, they know the moment Stenaldis Magnus is sworn in for the second time, 5 minutes later, there's going to be a call to two republics. And 5 minutes after that call, there's going to be a cessation of hostilities because there's no way for Ukraine to win this war. And ultimately, everyone here in the West has to accept Russia's needs for their own security. And that is Crimea.
Yeah.
And once people begin to understand that, they will understand. And the broken promises. No, you know, no one in the Democrat or Republican Party has said anything to the contrary of what Putin said to Tucker Carlson more than a month ago when he said, we even offered to join NATO. And President Clinton said, well, that's a very interesting offer. Let me get back to you on that. And then within a couple of weeks, he literally called and told Putin, yeah, no, nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So
the Russians are not the big evil empire they were 30 years ago. Actually, now it's more than 30 years ago,
yeah.
40 years ago. They are not. That's not to say they don't have a strong military and a formidable navy, but it's a regional navy. It is not a world-class navy.
Yeah.
And you have to put yourself, as an American, you need to look at a map of the world and look at, from a strategic position, why that little opening, the straits in Crimea, are absolutely essential to the security of Russia. If you're not willing to look at that, then you're not willing to understand why our country has certain points or pressure points or lines in the sand that any particular adversary, potential adversary, will not be allowed to cross. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Every country is entitled to its own security.
Right. Yeah, I think it's definitely people need to understand that with every country, not big bad Russia or any country whatsoever. But I do think the CIA was and is involved in trying to destabilize Russia and possibly, I think, definitely using Islamic groups or ISIS-K or whatever you want to call it to help in that end, whether that terrorist mission was run out of the Ukraine or it wasn't, or they're really Turkmen or what have you. Perry, I think we're going to go ahead.
One other thing I want to add to this. In 1994, maybe 95, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, once she was a member of the United States Supreme Court, went to Russia because they were still trying to figure out what kind of government do we really want? And the liberal forces, this is now after Putin took office, the liberal forces were saying, we want to base our model of democracy on your Constitution. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg literally said, well, why do you want to do that? That's an old and outdated document. So you see, we had our chance
right.
to make Russia, in our own eyes, a democratic republic. And by the way, they are far more faithful to God than we are. There's the Russian Orthodox Church, and you've yeah. talked about how Zelensky has been responsible for the death of several priests of the Russian Orthodox Church because they want to eliminate anything that has to do with Mother Russia.
Yeah.
So we had our chance 35 years ago to mold the Russian society into a free-thinking, open society. So my question is, why did we allow people from our government, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
There were people from our State Department who said, no, you got to come up with your own system. And I think when you look at the last three decades, maybe the whole reason why comes back to the defense contractor community.
Yeah.
You can't make money if you can't make war.
Right. You got to have an enemy. That's why we, that's why the CIA funded madrasas to tell little Muslim children to hate the West.
Correct.
Perry, we're going to have to leave it there for now. Thanks for joining me. Sorry we haven't got together sooner, but let's to get together next week for episode 75.
Same bat time, same bat channel, my friend.
All right, cool, man. Great to talk to you.
It's even better on my end. Thanks again, Rudy.
Yeah, see ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, there goes Perry. Episode 74, Tuesdays with Perry. We had missed a couple weeks there of chatting, but we got a good conversation in talking about the headlines and where we are headed. It looks like World War III, and we are trying to stave that off and trying to stave off another term of Joe Biden, which means more deficit spending, more inflation, and more undermining of the U.S. dollar, which is not going to be good for anybody who lives in this country. All right, it's it for me and Perry, episode 74, Tuesdays with Perry. Peace out.